meeting of the Lasard Sams Out There Heritage Council's Executive Committee meeting to order. Bill has a copy of the agenda that you should have all received electronically. And we'll just pass it out here. We have one agenda item, and that is to review and provide input to Judy and company about how to run next week's Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council meeting. It's a very important meeting. We're going to be taking a look at the five section-based plans that Judy and her crew facilitated. And at the end of our meeting of 2 days, we will hopefully have a call for proposals we'll use for the next round of funding. So that is the agenda as drafted. We are scheduled here to adjourn by 5:30. I'd like to see if we can't move sooner simply because Representative Murphy has a committee hearing of her committee, and they're going to talk about definitions and websites and the legislative guide on the four funds starting at 5. So if we can wrap up our work before 5 o'clock, that would be all the better. So I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda as drafted. Okay. Further discussion on that motion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have an agenda. So again, welcome, Judy, to the Executive Committee. Judy, as you know, has led the process working with Bill and her staff to facilitate the five section-based meetings to identify short-term, long-term targets, priority strategies. I assume you've all had a chance to look at it, but Judy the reports, but Judy has copies of those. I think what I'm going to do is turn it over to Bill and or Judy to talk about how you want to handle this discussion. Because, again, the goal of this meeting is to get some agreement and some support from this group, the Executive Committee, so that when we go into next week's council meeting, this group is on board and is really a proponent for the process that we're going to follow, with an understanding of what the goal is we're going to try to come out of there with at the end of the day on the 16th. So it's going to be a different process because we've always been, you know, reviewing proposals or, you know, making decisions that way. This is going to be a bit of a different process that the council will go through. And so that's why I asked Judy and Bill to bring to come here and talk to the Executive Committee so we all have an understanding and support what the process will be next week. Judy, with that?
And yeah, I just wanted to say the most important thing is at the end of the meeting on the 16th, we have to have priorities for the ecological regions to inform people as to what we're interested in funding in the next go-around. That is the one thing that we absolutely have to walk out of there with, and agreement on that. So it's going to take a lot of leadership, and we're dependent on you to provide that leadership. Judy? Jim?
I just have one quick question. Is there going to be an attempt to budget to each ecoregion, or is that...
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. You mean at the meeting next week?
Right.
Yeah. That's one of the things we're going to talk about today is, do we want to go that far, or do we want to do something different than that?
There is no requirement that be done.
No.
I had a sort of clarifying question for you, if I can start in a minute.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously not enough money. But I was curious when the dollar figures in terms of protection were put out, if there was an attempt anywhere to break that into protected by different strategies and what that meant, or was it simply somebody's best guess as to cost per acre? Because the cost of an easement versus the cost of acquisition are completely different numbers depending on the region of the state.
Judy, why don't you address that? And there was some accommodation of the different ways that one might, for example, protect land. But my understanding is that a midpoint figure was used. So the discussion would be, well, if you do it fee simple, it's going to average this much per acre in this area. But if you do it by easement...
So there isn't enough money, it doesn't matter, but here's the rough... approximate number to give you a range of.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we met in the prairie section, we were talking about the cost of establishing permanent easements versus purchase. And folks said it's really the same number. They're about the same, so they would just kind of give us a rough average. And if they gave us a range, we took the midpoint of the range. That's just kind of a budgeting technique. Then when we got into the Northern Forest section, we said we understand that easement and purchase cost about the same. And we heard this resounding, no!
You freaking crazy!
Easements are way cheaper. And so there we had to talk to people about, is it easement, is it purchase, and let's do a 60-40, 70-30, how much of this, how much of that. We didn't want to slice and dice it too much because we were already putting more numbers on the table than we had time for people to discuss. So.
And it's important to remember that the numbers that are in the report are considering all sources of funding, federal, state, local, private.
Mm-hmm.
It's still high, but
but that's a good thing in a way. I mean, it really speaks to
the things to do.
Well, that's true. Jim,
I was curious. Why didn't we do it that way, Bill? Why do we have all the funding sources in there? Why not just ours?
We felt it was premature to discriminate what we should do. That was a choice that the council members should make. If the resource professionals had used only the Outdoor Heritage Fund, they would have been taking some of your choice away. So the idea was to give you the overall view and let you as council members pick where you want to invest your money.
Well, the other reason to use total is, we had that meeting with the LCCMR where, there's not much question for those of us that were around when it started that was about protection of habitat. And, they're moving to research, get out of habitat business, thinking we can solve the problem. It's nice to show them we can't solve the problem, nor can we and they solve the problem.
That's right.
Nor we and they and the federal government solve the problem.
I must say I didn't know the problem would be quite as big as it was when we started out.
I'm not surprised when you add all of this.
And an additional reason to kind of release the constraint of what do you want to accomplish? As a visioning question, I think if you release the constraint of what can you accomplish with only this pot of money, it increases people's ability to think 25 years ahead and say 25 years from now, all of us partners, what do we want to say we've accomplished in this section? Regardless of funding source, but really as we think about it as conservation partners, what is it that we're trying to achieve? And then from that 25-year benchmark, we could back up to a one-year doable number. That one-year doable number, although it also includes funding from all sources, is more with current resources, current staff on the ground, the current amount of seeds that we have, equipment, this is what we can get done in 1 year. And they're quiet.
Any other questions before? Otherwise, I'd like to turn it over to Judy and have her just walk us through the process that you would like to follow, and you're looking for some input, some direction, some support, maybe some challenging questions about the process so that when we leave the meeting, everyone is on the same page.
Okay. In the packet you have, we have another copy of today's agenda, but underneath that there is a draft copy of the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council agenda. And then the second page under that is the time blocks, different processes that we would like to use for your planning meeting. Mike and Bill and I met to have a meeting to plan the meeting to plan the meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week. And we kind of sketched out what we might want to accomplish in some of the time frames that we might want to accomplish them in. There are some other reference documents for you in your packet. One is the current draft of the call for funding requests. Have most of you already seen?
I've seen that.
This is the most recent draft. And this would be a document at the meeting that we would be modifying, and it's my understanding, Bill, that by the end of the meeting on Wednesday, you want to have an approved copy of the call for requests ready to
publish. Obviously, Bill's going to have to do some wordsmithing, but yes, the substance of what we want in that call should be identified and agreed to by the council.
Yep. But the basic framework has already been drafted for your consideration. It doesn't include any of the decisions or the advice from the conservation professionals or public input meetings, but it's just essentially the guts of it. So.
And I just want to say it's a combination of the strategy we adopted and the accomplishment plan that we've been using, basically.
See any hurdles to overcome from members?
Yeah, I think that people will want it simpler. And I think it's about as simple as it can be for five ecological sections. But I'm sure they'll have problems with it. We'll find out here this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think most of you, or all of you, are familiar with the process that we've been running over the summer to hold conservation professional and public input meetings in the five different sections of the state. They were generally day-long meetings. We had anywhere from 25 to 35 people attending each of those meetings, as well as a number of folks in the audience. We ran them through a process to identify their 25-year goals, spatial and funding targets, and to back up from that 25-year goal to essentially a one-year doable number. Then from that one-year doable number, they would talk about 5 and 10-year steps along the way where they might advise rather than just piece this out in 25 little pieces, if something needed some time for ramp up, or if a certain initiative needed to be accomplished in a shorter time frame than 25 years. For example, if there's a precious resource that somebody else might buy up in the meantime, you might want to advise getting all of that done in 5 or 10 years. After we did the spatial and funding targets, we moved on to kind of the more qualitative piece of the conversation, which was priority characteristics of land that people might want to acquire or establish easements on, and then also priority actions. Once you have that land, once you have the ability to work on it, what is some of the types of work that you would advise be conducted on that land? And then we did that in a series, depending on the section, we allocated the amount of time proportionately to what they had going on in that section, but we usually did prairies first and then wetlands, habitat, forest, as the case may be. Obviously in the northern forest section, we started with forests and spent most of our time on that. So that was essentially the process that we went through in those meetings. Then we followed up at the end of the day. We had about an hour-long meeting in each section with members of the public, some of whom had watched the conservation professionals meeting during the day and wanted to comment on it, but most of whom were just coming in after work to talk about what they saw as high priorities for the councils and for their funding. So just give you a sense of context of where some of this information comes from. In your packets, you have some draft documents. These are currently out for public and participant comments. The first one is common discussion themes. These were items that were mentioned at numerous meetings, and they weren't always particular to that section's work or priorities. But we didn't want to lose that content since these were items that were discussed across the board and came up quite often. Then for each of the sections, you have a summary of the conservation professional meeting and what they came up with. And I'm sorry I didn't bring the current drafts of the public input meetings. We'll have those available for you at the meeting on the 15th as well. So those are the background documents we have for you today, and the background documents with the public input meetings that we would have for the council members. Mike referred to the objectives, or the key objective for the meeting is to help you establish your goals, and at the end of the meeting you want to be able to publish your 2011 call for requests. One of the big questions that we wrestled with last Thursday was, to what extent do you want 25-year planning to be part of the process on the 15th or 16th, or do you want the process to be more focused on getting out the 2011 call for requests and be focused on goals and objectives for the upcoming funding year? Mike was thinking we should spend the balance of time thinking about 2011, and you wanted to hold off on setting some of those 25-year goals till a bit later.
Well, yeah, my thought was that, you know, we're on such a time crunch now that we would, our first priority should be to establish that call for the 2011 fiscal year 2011 recommendations, and then once that's done, we can go back and revisit these longer term goals that these resource managers have provided and the public has commented on, and we have, as Bill has pointed out, through January of 2011 to develop our 25-year strategic plan. So that'll buy us more time post-January of next year to develop and to review those longer-term targets, priorities, and craft our 25-year plan. I think we're probably 75 to 80% of the way there now through these different section plans, but my concern is that if we try to do too much at next week's meeting, we might not be able to do any of it well. Dave?
No, you look at the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick anything you want to for a 25-year goal, and you ain't going to get it.
Right.
We just have to pick something, and there's nothing we can do wrong. Right. Frankly, the numbers are sobering in terms of the need, and forget that they're estimates. The numbers are sobering in terms of what needs to be done to meet all of the various plans and desires to protect the habitat in the state. The question is, how do we do the best job leveraging our money and make sure we spread it so that we're not overlooking any one area over the other, because it's going to be important to have impact around the state. You could spend all of the money in the Northeast region.
And
it wouldn't be a good thing. Yeah.
And just to comment on those 25-year goals, when Judy and I and Bill met last Thursday, I asked Judy about, you know, as members who participated reflected on those goals. What do they think? Were they just total shots in the dark? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Judy, but my understanding was that even after reflecting on those goals for a while, going home maybe a couple days later, the people who did contact you or you communicated with or Bill felt pretty comfortable about those targets. You know, obviously they're within a range, but those are not just off-the-wall targets, but those are targets that they think are reflecting the real needs.
It seems to me there are a couple of...
Going to the Caribbean?
I didn't want anyone to confuse their
you accomplished that objective.
There are a couple of exceptions that come to my mind, I'm sure others, but there are certain things that are subsets here that if we or somebody doesn't do in the next 25 years, the opportunity is gone. Native Prairie being one. I mean, if you don't do something significant about what is remaining in terms of true native prairie, the likelihood in 25 years you're going to have the opportunity to do something about native prairie is far diminished. Goat prairies would be another, that there won't be any goat prairies left because the opportunity is crashing in. Compare that in some sense to a shallow wetland restoration. If you don't do it in the next 5 years, you could do it in the second 5 years and not lose the opportunity. And so, you know, the forest easement that we did, in my mind, falls into that type of a category where that opportunity wasn't going to come around a second time, most likely. And so sort of the urgency piece isn't in this, but it ought to factor into our thinking. I haven't figured out how to do it, but I don't think we should lose that, that we need to be thinking about urgency. And, you know, I don't care which one of us it is. We could spend all this money in great things on the things we're most passionate about, and the state would be better for it. But collectively, we ought to come to some agreement on what and how we define urgency, so that that can sort of overlay some of our thinking.
Darby, did you have a comment?
Well, just going back to the original position that you got on what do we do next week, I totally agree. I've been one of those people who's really been pushing for strategic planning, but in part because of what I heard at the meetings, I think there still is a lot of, as you said, David, there's a lot of range of, you know, early on people said, don't even begin to guess at what acreage is going to cost in 25 years. I mean, there are some real limits as to what you can do. So despite my hope, you know, some months ago that we'd be well on our way to a pretty good 25-year plan, I think, Mike, I think you're right on. I think we've really got to solve this next go-around. That's the highest priority. If we can do more, if we have extra time at the end of the meetings next week, fine. But I think your priority is right on.
Okay.
I wanted to respond to the urgency question. I think a sense of urgency on different items was mentioned during the meetings, Native Prairie being one of them. Also, with some changes in the timber industry, there are some opportunities presenting themselves to either establish easements or purchase land in the northern forest section that just weren't possible before. But we didn't, as you said, we didn't specifically ask that urgency question.
Well, and everybody would tell you that there is this urgency. So, I mean, but urgency is, but go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there were perhaps some needs that were described as more time pressing than others. Also, when people did the 5 and 10 year priorities, they looked at the sense of where do we need to act fast versus act slow. So you'll kind of see that in the numbers where you have most of a particular recommended action taking place in a 5 to 10 year time frame.
Jim? Was there any discussion as far as urgency goes, as far as wildlife populations, that if we didn't act to deal with certain wildlife populations at this time, that maybe they wouldn't be around in 25 years? Or
I think with regard to ducks, they did. What's your recollection?
I don't recall anybody speaking of any of the species in that context. I think that they talked mostly about habitat,
mm-hmm,
and the need to restore habitat. And I think that there was a communication that was underlying species in particular. Certain species, underlying support for them.
Yeah, and I think the comment that I'm thinking about with regard to duck populations was from a public input meeting, the metro section public input meeting. Somebody was talking about, a person was talking about needing to go to North Dakota to hunt.
Oh, yeah.
But
lynx, moose.
Yeah.
We have a lot of endangered birds. We have a lot of endangered species, and there was no discussion whatsoever that we needed to support any species whatsoever.
Let me respond a little bit to that.
Yeah.
What we heard, and we heard it, I think I heard it at all four of the meetings that I attended, and that was that those professionals were really bummed out at our notion of silos, of breaking things up into pieces, and they kept talking about these are integrated systems. Mm-hmm. And that theme really pervaded, and I think that tended to have people not say so much about individual species, not that that wasn't important, but that maybe a more comprehensive, more ecologically sound approach was to think more in terms of interconnected systems. Any number of those priorities will identify, you know, don't isolate wetlands and prairie. I mean, they're so integrated. You've got all of these different systems within each other. I mean, we've got wetlands within forests, and we've got all of that. Interconnectedness.
Well, and I understand connectivity what you're saying, Darby, but I we were talking about a sense of urgency, the 25-year plan, and what things we had to get to right away. Back to David's comment. So I'm there are species of concern in this state, and all this interconnectedness is true, but that's going to take time. And I guess I'm surprised that there wasn't any comment on individual species that they thought they had to address.
Jim?
Right away. And back to your comment about the silos, but I mean, really, this was a budgetary process, is really what we were doing here. I mean, that's really why we had the silos.
That part of it certainly was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I just do want to point out I had to go to the prairie section because I knew that I could find the way they expressed themselves about endangered species and things like that. And it's sort of to the back of the packet, on page 5 of the prairie section. They, for prairie protection, they say give priority to sites with high biodiversity rankings and rare features. And then for habitat protection, they talk about support for endangered species. So it's not like they were ignoring urgency or something like that. But we have this planning effort at an extraordinarily high level. And it wasn't at the level where they talked about individual species or things like that. So generically, they expressed concern about that, Jim, but not in particular the bobolink or something of that sort.
It's so hard to disconnect. I mean, the habitat that's going to be good for ducks and pheasants is going to be good for wetlands, is going to be good for fish habitat as well, because it all flows downhill. If you protect up here, you're going to protect everything else, and it's also good for the bobolinks and good for the deer, and it's so hard to peel apart unless you have a site-specific species that you're really concerned about, which would be what a prairie is, where it can't move back and forth the way a bird or a moose or something else has the ability to kind of go to habitat that's ideal for it. I don't know how you pull out one species over another. It's really tough.
But again, I mean, certain species that are in trouble, it's usually because they lost a critical piece of habitat.
Absolutely.
Unique to their existence. So
it's not a piece, it's a system.
Well, or one piece of that system.
Yeah.
So Judy, why don't you talk about your proposal, our proposal, I guess, to take the council through a day and a half of meeting to get to that point that we all want to get to, which is where we have our call for proposals agreed to by the council.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that?
And that's summarized on this piece of paper here. I have
Can
one
I just interrupt?
Yeah,
did we come to a decision on the 25-year plan and what we're going to do with this next meeting? Are we going to concentrate on request for proposal? Are we going to do any work at all on a 25-year plan?
I didn't hear any opposition to the 25-year plan work, although my guess is that by focusing on the fiscal year 2011 call, we will be also doing work implicitly on our 25-year strategic plan. But I didn't hear anyone say, let's work a lot on that or explicitly on that till after we have the call for the fiscal 2011 proposals in the bag.
So we're going to do that first.
Yeah. Because once we submit our recommendations on the 15th of January, we'll have a fair amount of time to start working on that plan. We'll have the entire year, a year from that point forward, to finalize that.
But again, to David's point, I mean, it would be kind of nice if there are things that we're going to have to concentrate on for the whole 25 years to know that up front. And I understand what you're saying, Mike. I'm not saying it, but I mean, it would be kind of nice to have a...
Yeah. And I think some of that will come out, Jim.
Foot view before we start.
Yeah. So as Judy walks us through the process, I think some of those longer term needs and priorities will come out, because at least from where I'm sitting, some of my short term priorities for some of these sections are also the longer term priorities for these sections. And I suspect that'll be the case for a lot of members.
If you're all looking at the document that says OHC Strategic Planning and Priority Development in front of you. The process would start out with a bit of a homework assignment, and we would get you the materials that you have the materials in draft. Comment on those drafts is due by the close of business tomorrow. So we're hoping by Thursday, by the end of the day, we'd be able to get you the final revised documents for your review. We don't have a lot of revisions to make so far. But you never know, some folks might just wait until 5 p.m. tomorrow. So your homework assignment would be first to read through the results of the five section meetings, the conservation professional and public input meetings. And then as you go through them yourself, just jot down important outcomes that are coming through for you, some things for this section that you think we need to achieve. And as we noted at our meeting, these can be either qualitative or quantitative in nature. In some of the meetings people talked about, we would like to protect X amount of acres, which we know to be the remaining native prairie in this section. In other areas, they might have had some difficulty talking spatially or acreage-wise, but they would say, we have a high priority on establishing shallow lakes of, you know, with these following characteristics. So as you just read through it, what you see as a sense of outcomes or things that we want to achieve. Then from there, identify some priority strategies or particular actions that would help work you toward those outcomes in 2011. And you can use, to develop those, we have lists of priority characteristics of land. We have lists of priority actions. So priority strategies, some particular things we would need to do to accomplish that outcome. That doesn't need to be a lengthy list on your part. Just what's really popping out for you, your top, you know, 3 to 5 as you're going through each section. Then finally, when you get to the end, after you've read all five of the section summaries, as you've read through, as you have seen consistent themes throughout the documents, jot down what you see are some outcomes or strategies that you see recurring throughout the sections, where you're seeing, you know, we conducted the same process 5 different times, 5 different places, but there were a number of recommendations that we see theming through the 5 sections. So as you see that, what are some recurring themes that you see? These might be the beginnings of some statewide priorities rather than section-specific priorities. So as you come to the meeting, each of you would have a list of your own to contribute to the meeting of both outcomes, things we would like to achieve, and actions, things we would do to achieve those items. We would start out the meeting with the Lessard Sam's business meeting. You've got 3 agenda items from 10 to noon that you would want to talk about. We take a quick lunch break, and then we would start up with just a review of the process, similar to what I discussed, just to brief you all on the meetings that were conducted throughout the state. And then we would review ourselves what we saw as some recurring themes across the sections. We can do a thematic summary across the 5 sections. We would begin our day by talking about statewide priority actions, which is actually the last thing that you would have jotted down. I was thinking that if we get some of the statewide priorities out of the way first, then each of the section summaries can be a little bit easier for us to get through. So if native prairie preservation is a statewide priority, we've got that taken care of. We don't need to talk about that specifically for four different sections, for example. That's one that I'm thinking is, that I did see threading through at least four of the section summaries. For that piece, we would review the current priorities that are in the call for requests. You already have some that have been written in from the statewide preservation and conservation plan. Those are on page 5 of the draft call for requests.
And there's an item on page 5 that needs to be amended, mm-hmm. which is H13. Which inadvertently was left in the strategy. I will need a motion at some point in the meeting to take that out.
To take out. I'm sorry.
We're on the call for funding requests.
Okay. Sorry, I got it.
Keep going for me, for my benefit.
On page 5, under statewide priority actions, the grid, H13.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The education piece.
The minutes reflect that that was deleted. The document doesn't reflect it.
Okay. So we would review the habitat and land use actions that you've already identified through use of the statewide comprehensive conservation and preservation plan. We would review the list that we presented of recurring themes across the sections, and then we would also use the list that you had developed yourselves. So as you went through yourselves, what did you see theming across the across those documents? So we'd review the current priorities, and then we would talk about any potential additions to those current priorities. We would have you add those. And then depending on the number that we get, we might have each of you have to identify your top 5. We just don't know how many. Mike, Bill, did you have a question?
Just before we move on.
Oh,
I wanted to make sure that the executive committee took note on bottom of page 4. The 10 items that are items of priority, mm-hmm. those we'll have to go over as well.
And the scoring.
And were we going to assign points? I thought we would.
It's up for discussion. Yes, no, assign points.
Well, my preference is that we don't assign points, not to individual ones, because then it becomes almost completely arbitrary about what gets a 1 priority point versus what gets a 10. I think you need to identify, is it a yes, no? Is it collaboratively developed? So, you know, that it meets that number 4 priority category of priority consideration. If it allows public access in the case of an easement acquisition, that's either yes or no. Either it does or it doesn't. You can't really give it a 1 or 10.
Give it a 7 or 8. Right?
No.
Kind of does.
Well, you can't. It just isn't very neat.
Right. No. So my proposal is that, I mean, I'd like to hear from the rest of you, but I think we need to use these 10 or some version of 10 or more or less than 10, but not score them either, just they're either there or they're not.
So I can take the points off because I put them on.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need a motion in the meeting to clarify that these will be used as in a yes-no fashion, binary.
Right.
So you'll tally up the yeses, tally up the noes, and that's how you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, you keep talking about a motion. Why can't you just send this out as a first working draft? I mean,
I can do that.
That makes the changes. I mean, nothing is defined until the council agrees to it. So
I can do that.
Yeah, I would do that. So get rid of H13.
H13 needs to go, and then the point summaries would need to change to a yes or no.
Right.
Let me just tease out the yes, no, 1 to 10. There are some things here. Produce conservation benefits across a large geographic area. Yes, no, maybe. it might be in between where you're going to lose it if you don't do it is a complete yes, no. And if you're scoring on a, I don't know, I don't have a proposal, but if you're scoring on a yes, no basis, you're not putting, you're putting equal weight on disequal questions. And I think we ought to think about that in terms of, we don't want to create a result that we have to live with that isn't what we really want. And there are some things that are sort of minimum requirements.
Those are in an earlier list.
Yeah, so those are in the number 1 through 21. Yeah, so it starts on the previous page, page 3.
I didn't see the
yeah,
earlier list.
And then spills over to 20.
The I spent all my time reading these.
Well, the good thing is a lot of this is similar, if not identical, to our call for proposals we had a year ago.
And from our strategy. It's lifted directly out of the strategy.
That's right.
Well, if we can set aside for the moment the question of how you're going to score, because I think that'll be a task for the selection committee to figure out an acceptable scoring mechanism. But essentially, you have some content already developed on statewide priorities, the list of 10, and then what you have from the statewide conservation and preservation plan. We'll talk about what did we learn from the public input meetings, from the conservation professionals meetings. Do we have any amendments or changes to those statewide priorities? Some things that are missing. Your item relating to urgency. I'm not sure if that aspect of urgency. Address one-time conservation opportunities that will be lost if not immediately funded. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
But there, it might not just be a one-time opportunity. It might just be a resource that's rapidly dwindling. Or you might want to play around with the language in that. In that,
I found the one that always concerns me. Collaboratively developed by multiple stakeholders. I don't care if Business Forever wants to do a project and do it well. If they're the only group doing it versus, geez, I got 20 partners signed up to help me do this project, and it's going to accomplish the same thing, why do we care? Because this is about accomplishment. It's not about how many different players are playing a role necessarily. I'm not against that, but I'm more interested in getting it accomplished and to give someone a negative score because they don't have a bunch of partners. To me, is kind of sending the wrong message. I watched this at LCCMR, which is why I'm a little sensitive to it. You know, we kept on emphasizing we have to have more partners in the Habitat Corridor projects, and we ended up getting partners that didn't mean anything, but they were partners. And it looked better, and we created the wrong incentive. So we just have to be so careful.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, Dave. And so as we go through this next week, I mean, you know, we could have Bill just take it out now, or we could, as we go through, review all of these next week when we meet and decide. You know, number 4 really isn't.
I think we have to be careful about making decisions here today that overturn a decision that's been made earlier by the council, and that's one that I didn't add.
Right. So this is something that we agreed to. But I'm saying everything is on the table for discussion, including the ones you identified, Dave. Because I tend to agree with what you're saying.
That's one that I can latch on to because I've watched it be bad.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you bring that up when we get to this section of the review.
Well, I will.
Okay. Judy?
I'm already writing bump up time next to statewide priority actions. I had only budgeted 40 minutes for that because I thought, well, you had a version that you used last year. We're just looking through to thread through the advice and see if we have anything to add. But it sounds like you might need to have a bit more of a discussion on some potential drops from your current list. So we might need a bit more time on that. We would move on from identifying those statewide priority actions. This is sort of writ large. What are we looking to accomplish in 2011 for the state? Items that are threading across sections to section-specific summaries. And under the Southeast Forest section, we kind of have a listing of the process as it would work for each of the sections. We go to each section and first review the conservation professional and public input meeting results. So we from MAD with Bill and Darby helping us out, I suppose. And Darby, you were at four of the five of them. We would summarize for you what we heard. In addition to the documentation that you see in front of you, here's what we heard at that particular section meeting. We would move on to a brainstorm where you identify important outcomes that you would like to achieve for this section.
This is our homework, right?
This is from your homework. So you would be looking at your list and identifying top priorities as you went through the document. What do we want to achieve for this section?
Yeah, and as Bill and I and Judy were talking last Thursday, that can be qualitative.
I mean,
it could be numbers, it could be acres, or it could be a statement of an outcome. It's up to you. And I think my guess is we'll have a mix of both. Some people will say, I want to protect 50,000 of the remnant native prairie tracts that are in private ownership, versus a more qualitative statement would be, I want to protect the remaining native prairie remnant tracts in private ownership, without a number. So.
Darby, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. You know, I've been mulling this over. I've looked at, I wrote down a lot of notes, as you did, Judy, from the public comments. And there are a number of instances, I think specifically of New Ulm, and I think specifically of Rochester, in which the public added some elements that were not really part of what the conservation professionals really identified. For example, in Rochester, we heard a number of people talk about the Zumbro River. The Zumbro River is a disaster, and on and on and on. We also heard in New Ulm about access. None of the professionals talked about access, as I recall, but some folks did from the public afterwards. And at some point, we need to reconcile where, you know, the public said this, the professionals did not. How do you meld those together, I guess?
So I think what I'm hearing is just another discussion item, a short one. What did you find in the public input that's different, or maybe a homework item? What in the public input is different from what the professional said?
Mm-hmm. Well, it wouldn't necessarily be different so much as just in addition to.
Could have been a reinforcement.
Reinforcement,
yeah.
Or. Okay. But one of the homework questions to look at that public input stuff.
Yeah, the urban forestry thing from the Rochester meeting, for example.
Right.
Where we didn't talk about urban forestry during the meeting during the day, but it was brought up quite a bit.
They're well organized.
So, yeah. they had buttons on.
One comment from the experts about Emerald Ash Borer that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
I missed it then.
In the metro northern forest, at least.
I just reread in the northern forest, but it certainly
I remember in the professionals.
That those that are organized believe it is.
I'm putting a note here.
How well attended was this by the members overall?
By our members?
Mm-hmm.
Not many came.
It's helpful to know.
Let's see what we have. Three at the metro, part of the metro, three or four?
Four.
Five. One in New Ulm.
And then Les came to the
two in Grand, four or Detroit Lakes. And none in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had anywhere to put them, anyhow. So we kind of packed them in like sardines.
On the contrary, we targeted about 20 professionals for each meeting. And ended up with as many as 50, 60 that showed up because people could self-describe themselves as a professional, field practitioner.
Yeah, so Bill sold us on a small meeting with 15 to 20 conservation professionals, and we ended up with...
That was the same.
Yeah. We wanted to get our money's worth.
Yeah. Getting back to the process, we would identify those important outcomes to achieve for the section. We weren't sure if we needed to do this one round robin. This would just be bring forward what you think those outcomes are. We think that as you read through, there's probably going to be a lot of commonality on your lists. Then we'll brainstorm some priority strategies that can lead to those outcomes for about 20 minutes. This would be a process. We'll go around the room. There'll be 10 or 11 of you there. Each of you will pick a favorite or two from your list. We'll start out with just a single favorite on your list. We'll do once around the room to get a contribution from each person. You'll probably notice that another person is mentioning something that's already on your list. Once we get a contribution from each member of the council, then we'll free it up and take a couple of more. If you have any additional items on your list where you say, I really do think this is an action that we'll need to undertake in 2011. So that should give us a list of actions, probably about 20 items, 20 to 25 items.
And by actions, you mean strategies?
Things we would do.
Okay.
And the list that we have from the conservation professionals meetings should be helpful, but you probably would have to construct something on your own because we have priority characteristics of land to acquire, and then we have priority actions of what you do with it. This is kind of a meshing of those two.
The other thing I think it's important to reinforce at this point is that the information from the conservation professionals' meetings is input to the council, but council members have the freedom and responsibility to come up with their own views, own thoughts, own ideas, things like that. And this is your opportunity to talk about what you think this fund ought to accomplish.
Now, this is a really good way to do it, but a lot of times people don't like it. We're going to get up from the table, and each of you will have a couple of dots. I know. But just so that we can get a sense of the strength of consensus on your contribution and others' contributions, if you can put a dot next to the top three strategies that you see, that will be useful for the next day when we talk about priority actions for that section.
What do people think about that? Is that okay with that? And if not, what's the alternative? So we're gonna have a list that Judy and crew are going to have of these priority strategies, maybe 20 to two dozen. And somehow we have to distill that to some smaller subset that really reflects where most council members are, or at least the preponderance of council members are about the priority actions. So what we came up with was just an exercise. I've done it many times, use it where you just give everyone three dots and you say, all right, put them on the top three priorities in no particular order. And seeing where those dots shake out, that suggests where the council members are individually about, of the 24, let's say, that are listed, five of them receive 80% of the dots. Well, that gives us a sense of what are the priorities. People okay with that?
I'm okay with it as a starting point, but there's a point at which you need to hear the logic for someone an outlier that you might not have thought of.
Right, and so just to kind of go full circle on the process, this will be to get us to that starting point, to put something on paper that then Judy will bring back to us the beginning of the next day that we can then work from.
The plan is to have management analysis take the distribution where the votes drop off, move the ones below that into another sheet of paper, but have both available to members. So you can make a motion to bring something out and discuss it. Or
yeah, and this is a workshop process for brainstorming and prioritizing, but then decision making requires a great deal more discussion, and we've left a couple of hours for that discussion on Wednesday, so you have some time to sleep on it, think about what you developed during the day, give us some time to produce a nice document for you, and then we'd come back the next day, and then there would be discussion on the actual decisions. We would repeat that process for about 50 minutes each for each of the sections, and then I have a little bit of flex time at the end of the meeting. We would try to adjourn by 6:30.
This is going to be a grueling afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. It's going to be really laborious, and it's going to be pretty intense.
But I don't know how, in the time we have allocated, to get to where we have to be or get, other than go through something like this.
So we're going to do this for all five sections, and you're going to take away from that exercise the information, and during the night while we're all resting, you guys are going to cook up. You're going to fill in the blanks by identifying those priority strategies in some version of this document.
Right? Yeah, well, you're at the bar.
Right.
We'll be...
Is that in our budget?
Yeah, it is. It's in your per diem.
So what we'll do is, at the end of the day, we're going to have some lists of outcomes, list of priority strategies. You will have prioritized some of those different strategies. We'll take that content, we'll get it typed up, we'll get it into a document that essentially fills in for the call for requests, starting on page 7 of the call for requests. We have the Northern Forest section first. We would fill in those blanks from what we heard from you. And
that example on the under the Northern Forest 25-year targets needs to be changed too. Also,
what's that?
In what way, Bill?
It shouldn't be quantitative.
Well, and you didn't want to establish 25-year targets
right
here, so this would be Northern Forest targets.
Well, we're calling them important outcomes.
Okay, so that needs to be changed to important.
Yeah, I mean, I would use the same terminology you use when you walk us through the exercise.
Yeah. And the Northern Forest Priority Action. So we would take those contributions from you. We would put them in this format. Based on what you decide and how that DOT exercise goes, we'll establish a cut point where, you know, we have a certain number listed. We won't lose any of the other contributions. I don't know if you want them all in the same document and put a line somewhere.
I'd probably put them in a separate document.
Yeah, separate document with... Then we move on to the next day's agenda on Wednesday. We review what we did the next day in the morning, just for about 25 minutes, just to kind of get your heads back into it, and then we review the document that we created, the draft call for requests, and what we did, the wording changes. We'd have about an hour for friendly amendments. These are edits and wording changes where we might have caught what you said quite right, but just however you want it worded in the call for requests, but doesn't change the actual decision. So some time for that. And then the remainder of the meeting until about 1:30 is motions, votes. Bill and Mike and I didn't have a lot of time to discuss how you wanted that to work.
Yeah, I mean, so let's just think this through, and this is probably the guts of why I wanted the committee to hear this, because at the beginning of Wednesday, week from tomorrow, we will have some document that identifies from the previous day the outcomes and the priority strategies, at least as a draft. And then we need to go back and we need to fine-tune that. So, you know, Dave has identified a couple things in the priority criteria that he would like reviewed. I suspect all of us have that list of some version. The challenge I have is to what extent we can make these changes by consensus versus we've got to take a vote. In other words, have a majority of the members of the council who are there actually affirm a change. And for better or for worse, the document that Judy and her crew will draft and distribute to us on Wednesday becomes our working document. And so, I mean, at some point you have to put something on the table, and that's why I think it's so important that we have something that reflects our previous day's ideas and priorities to work from. Mm-hmm. But we may come into a point where, you know, I have an idea that simply isn't supported by anyone else, and in order to either include that idea or to my ideas to get rid of it, this council as a body needs to affirm that, not me individually or Bill individually for his ideas.
What are you talking about when you talk about friendly amendments?
And that's what we're wrestling with, because I think we just need to take a pulse, kind of almost a nod of heads. As Dave says, you know, this priority criteria number 4 on collaboration, this doesn't make sense, and here's why. And I'm going, I agree. And everyone around the room is going, yeah, that makes sense, and I just don't sense any real opposition. Then we can make that change as a friendly amendment. But if, you know, Jim says, no way, that's staying in, and Bill says, no way, that's going out, I mean, at some point, we have to come away with a document that this council has adopted. And the only way I see, but I'm looking for ideas, other ideas, is to, you know, have, if push comes to shove, we have to take a motion to amend that document one way or another. So in this case, Dave would propose to amend the document by deleting priority action number 4, and we'd have to vote. But I'm hoping we can minimize, hopefully avoid that until we come down to the end where we all can vote on supporting the document we arrived at. But give me some pushback, your thoughts on that. Because there's no easy way that I can think to do this, so that's what I'm proposing.
Kelly spent way too much time on that last legislative session. This is much easier in this group than it is over there.
Yeah, I know it. Jim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just trying to think at the end of the day, what do we want this document to really do?
So the goal of this entire meeting, besides the business part, is to come away with an agreed-to document that will be our call for proposals for the next year's recommendations.
So we want this document to lead these proposers,
yes,
in this direction.
Right.
And I think you want it to screen out things that you're just not going to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let people know where your priorities are, and implicitly where your priorities aren't.
And again, as Judy and Bill have mentioned, it can be really quantitative, can be very, very specific, very explicit, or it can be outcomes and priority strategies that are direct, you know, are suggested but not, you know, explicit. So it leaves more latitude for proposer to say, well, I think I fit in. That's up to us. So we're not looking necessarily for a 3x4 matrix that we've talked about in the past to protect, enhance, restore prairies, wetlands, forests, and habitat. We could, but it could be something totally different.
I think we have to have a vote in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to that, you can explicitly say, without objection, we will add or remove. And if there's an objection, that means you're going to have a motion and move on it.
But I mean, all council members are going to put different weights on all of these. I mean, you can put them all in here, and David can be thinking one thing, and I can be thinking just the opposite. If I see this project and I like what it's doing, I'm going to throw the rest of it out. And I mean, I think that's the real world. Why get into discussion about it? If someone thinks it has credibility being there, why not let it just leave it there? Because again, at the end of the day, we're all going to make our own decisions. We're all going to put our own weight on each one of these individual points. Do we need to boil it down to such a point that, you know, it's only things that we all agree on in concrete? I don't think we do.
You know, Jim, you're right that when it comes time to reviewing proposals and making some recommendations individually that will collectively become ours, you're right. We're going to pick the ones that we really want that in our mind are the priorities. This is more so to give guidance to the proposers.
But again, let's look at it that way. Ducks Unlimited is sitting out there. I can guarantee you, well, I don't guarantee you, but I would guess that they're going to have projects that they want done. They're going to take that project and they're going to try and make the argument as best they can to what we have we put forward here. They're not going to go, well, boy, this is what they're looking for. We better go find a project that, you know, meets all this criteria. It's going to work the other way.
I think you're right about that. I think it's on the margin that you might make some profit, that an individual might take a look at this and say, well, my garden club project really isn't what they're looking for.
So we eliminate that.
My environmental education project isn't what they're looking for, and they would not propose. What we don't want is to generate 300 proposals, because we're going to have 20 friends and 280 enemies, if for no other reason.
But you don't think that's going to happen anyway, Bill?
Well, I certainly don't want to be a part of it if it does happen.
I mean, really, the only way that scaled down last year is just the process we used where we, I mean, they were self-limiting. But I mean, what's going to stop that this year? I don't.
Well, Bill, there's some parks things that we're certainly not going to be, right, seem to be not to be dealing with that we were good enough to deal with last year. That was a huge part. Was it not? Or
and it was a huge part. And
I'm not saying that they're not going to be totally involved here, but
no, we saw a lot of park proposals because that ours was the only game in town.
Exactly.
I guess maybe a way to think about this, Jim, is if, let's say, in the urbanizing metro section, that the council identifies wetlands restoration as a key priority strategy, and that sends a signal to conservation partners who do that type of work. In the metro, we're looking for a proposal from you. So if we get a proposal to do something else, you know, we'll accept any proposal, but it may just never make that first cut because that isn't in line with what this council thinks should be done as a first priority in the metro urbanizing area, which is wetland restoration or cold water trout stream restoration.
You know, I agree with you to a point. If we decide wetlands are our thing and we get a proposal for prairie restoration, we ought to throw it out. We shouldn't consider it. It should be, you know, it should not take our time.
But David, what if it's a high priority? What if it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance here that these people come up with it? I mean, that goes against the argument you made earlier today.
Well, but
are we just going to walk away from it then?
Well, but shouldn't we be smart enough with all of this work to know what's critical that we ought to put in the RFP instead of depending on everyone to tell us how critical everything is?
This is really a point where it's going to take tremendous discipline to get through this without opening the floodgates. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, kind of looking ahead, once the proposal call period ends and we receive our 300 proposals, the first step would be for hopefully our staff or Bill to go through and weed those out that don't meet the minimum criteria, as well as, you know, identifying those that clearly aren't a priority that we've identified. So we can do some triage right away.
I'm liking it better and better all along. It's starting to sound pretty good.
I just said Bill. I didn't say which Bill.
Well, I got a pretty good idea which one I just
Well, I don't know how that'll work. But I think now is the time to be as disciplined as you can be and as precise as you can be on what you think ought to be done. There's a risk to that because there are people that are going to think something else ought to be done. But if we can defend it, then it's good policy to go that way.
And as I mentioned at the outset, we need to have six cheerleaders, five cheerleaders from the council at least, who go to the
in
meeting
uniform.
in uniform next Tuesday who will say this is the process that as an executive committee we support. We didn't come up with a better process and we want to move forward. Because otherwise, I've seen these things happen where you spend half of the first day defining the process, and that's why it really is critical that collectively the five of us go into that meeting supporting whatever we agree to.
I think the process is fine. I think, you know, the crux is going to be how do we say no?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we decide what we're going to listen to and not listen to? I mean, I'm going to have a different idea than Bill has, and at the end of the day, I suspect we're going to come to some form of agreement that we can all live with. None of us will be completely pleased, but none of us are going to feel completely disenfranchised by the results. Then the question that we have to ask is how do we live the decisions that we've made so that we don't, because I'll tell you, once you open those floodgates to the lobbyists, to everyone else to come in and say, yeah, but this is so much more important, you need to do it, we will never be able to have a process that means anything because they'll always be figuring out who they can go to try to influence swaying outside the process. And I would like to think that we're open enough and there are enough of us with differing constituencies, for lack of a better word, that critical thing is going to come to us before we get to the meeting. And we're going to know that there's a Forest Legacy deal that's huge that we ought to be thinking about or a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something. We always have the small grants program, but if we don't have discipline, we will have no process at all in a free-for-all forever.
That's very well said. And you've seen it happen in other
than... Oh, my God, have I seen it.
Well, you know, my sense is, I mean, just working with the other 11 of you and those that are not here, I just sense that we can indeed resolve, okay, so-and-so really wants this, but there aren't enough people, and so-and-so really doesn't want it. I mean, you work that out. And I think as a group, we demonstrated we are able to do that. I think we can resolve that. I don't think we have to end up, you know, doing a bunch of votes, you know, 7-5 and on and out, how do we deal with that? And I think we're capable and competent to resolve those issues. I think it'll work. I just based on what I've seen of our members.
I'm optimistic as well, Darby. But I do want to make sure that people understand that if we start getting a disagreement over a proposed change, that we have to have a process to resolve that.
Yeah, you have to have a process of that.
Yeah.
It's always better to work by consensus.
And you know, Dave, one of the response we used last year, and I think we can use again, is this is one of 25 years worth of funding. And if our priorities don't match up exactly with yours, well, this is for the call for fiscal year 2011 appropriations. Maybe it will match up for 2012, and you need to make a better case that it is a priority. But through our process, it did rise up to the top.
Yeah, well, I mean, the evidence here, forget if it's right or wrong, but it's in the ballpark somewhere, would say there ain't no way are we going to solve problems in this state with this single pot of money.
No.
But we can make a really big difference by doing it intelligently and looking for the leverage and looking for the high return deals. But it's sobering when you look at the scale of what's out there in terms of call it dilemma needing a solution.
I think everyone felt that way, but until we actually read through these reports and saw it, at least for me personally, it really hit me. I think, like you're saying, it hit you. Wow. The magnitude of the need is...
I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that it was far exceeded our ability to provide resources, but in some levels, we're not even close.
Is there still talk, or what's the feeling about going with a two-year plan eventually here? Where are we at with that?
Well, you know, that issue was asked of... Where did that issue come up, Jim? Or Darby, do you remember?
It came up someplace. Congress,
maybe. Oh, it came up at the game fair.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And for me, I would be all in favor of going to an every other year recommendation, because this is just nuts. Absolutely.
What's the downside?
Greg, you did.
No, the main reason, I mean, LCMR used to have a two-year process, and one of the things that the citizens group asked when they did the task force was to go to more of an annual process, because things would come up, and a lot of times, if you have a two-year process and a big project comes up, it's almost like you need a year lead time in front of that even to get to be thinking about it before the money. So it's almost like it's like a three-year process before the money becomes available for it, a 2 to 3 year process. And so that was kind of the issue that was brought forward there. And then, so they went to an annual process, and they're having the same problems you're having with an annual process. It's very difficult to do an annual process. But you do have the Conservation Partners Grant Program. So part of the reason that was brought up was when things come forward quickly, how do you respond in a quick manner when the money's kind of already been tied up for 2 years?
But you know, that's the reason we've got a reserve, isn't it? To deal with some issues.
Well, the reserve is more to deal with the downfall.
Well, but wasn't the part of that the notion that we had a quick response? Something comes up and we can't deal with it,
The legislature.
It requires going back to the legislature.
What you're referring to, Darby, is early on we talked about both an emerging issues fund and a reserve, two separate pots of money. Set aside 10% in reserve, but then set aside some money of that residual 90% for emerging issues that never came through the legislative process.
No, they haven't had real good, the success at LCCMR, they've tried that too. It works, but it's not, I don't think anybody's really happy with
Barely.
Barely.
Yeah.
You could go to a two-year process. You wouldn't do it this year. It's the second year of biennium. But that would be something. I mean, I think your statute says an annual recommendation right now, but your annual recommendation could be for 2 years and the next year. You know, you're not confined by that. But it is something to consider if you want to go to 2 years. That would be, I think, it would be for next year.
I think the
difference between LCCMR and what we're doing is we're looking at long-term solutions to these opportunities.
Yeah.
LCCMR was spending half their money doing shorter-term projects. You know, it was the actual habitat protection piece had dwindled, and it got into other types of research projects and demonstration projects, which need quicker money. You know, there's not this consistency of going forward. It'd be interesting to look at 2 years.
So, Judy, is there anything else? Because I know we're going to try and tie this together.
You wanted to get to a committee here that started at 5. I just had one question with two elements to it before we wrap up. There were two items in the common discussion themes where, as you read those discussion items, they might influence your changing some other elements of the call for requests. One was on the first page, ongoing maintenance. We heard comments in a lot of different sectional meetings about the need to fund maintenance as well as the funding for the initial restoration. I don't know, with the agenda being as packed as it is right now, whether there is time on the agenda to discuss whether you want to modify that maintenance provision, to open that up for discussion and have a decision on it. Likewise, we got a lot of feedback from folks on working with private landowners. You'll see on page 2. And we heard it strongly in 3 of the section meetings, but I think it came up in all of them. I didn't know if, as part of your meeting process, you wanted to open up those issues and allot some time for discussing whether you have a change in your policy in that regard.
Well, if I recall, Bill, one of the things that we have in our minimum criteria is at least for the proposer to identify a plan for maintaining the habitat that they're going to either restore, enhance, or protect.
I think in part the problem here, we do have that in a call for request minimum criteria.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem here is that it's a continuum between restore and maintain. And some people are saying, in order to restore a prairie, we need to burn it every other year.
We need to come back on it periodically.
And that's what we call maintenance, is a term of art for prairies, maintaining it. But I think we could define that as part of restoration.
Yep.
So I hate to put any definitions in here.
No, please.
Better be careful.
Yep.
So. But I think we need to come to an understanding that there are things that these people are calling maintenance that we would call part of the restoration project, and be willing to go ahead and fund it. That's all I can say about that.
So looking at number 7 in our draft call, which is under the minimum qualifications and request attributes, number 7 says, have a plan to sustain the resource and or habitat outcomes specified, including a plan to finance these activities. So in the example of burning a native prairie every third year, for forbs or whatever, I mean, that would hopefully be identified as an activity that's ongoing, whether they call it maintenance or...
And they should identify the funds to be coming from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, if that's where they want it.
But it would be helpful if somehow in the call for request you were a little bit more clear on where does enhancement end and maintenance begin. People had a lot of questions about that and were real fuzzy about it at the section meetings. It inspired a lot of different discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I don't know if you want to get into the subject of whether projects with private landowners where you haven't acquired a permanent easement or acquired the land for stewardship plans.
No. Well, at least according to the session laws, which I think set precedence for future appropriations.
Okay.
But it was our choice.
Yeah, I mean, we put that in there, and I think that was a good move. I mean, the last thing I would want to do as a taxpayer is to invest money into some habitat work for the landowner only to turn around and sell it at some future date for a development or a shopping mall.
The protection you've done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
I just wanted to highlight those items for your attention in case you wanted to discuss those.
I understand the concern. I think we did the right thing.
Yeah.
We do a once around.
Can I just ask this one question?
Yeah.
Maybe it's for something for leverage dollars. Are there any leverage dollars figuring in here, or is that just a swag?
No, well.
Number 5 on page 4 under the priorities, it's leverage is going to be given priority.
So what I'm talking about is the numbers, the figures we're seeing in each one of these proposals here.
Oh, each section?
Each section. Are there any dollars at all? I mean, best guess. So the total dollar is, we've got $33 million here on this Oak Savannah Forest thing. Are there any leveraged dollars figured in here?
It's all possible? Sources.
It's important. It's all sources.
All sources.
It is all figured in.
Yeah.
Federal, county, state, nonprofit.
That's the need. Your question is, if we put in $10 million, can we get to $33 million?
Yeah, do these figures change at all with that leveraging dollars?
I think that's the total need. And so, if let's say it was the need was $50 million, if we put in $25, then there'd be $25 million of additional need. And that could be a match. That could be someone else doing something totally different.
Right. Or it could be unmet.
Or unmet. Yeah, right. Which will happen. Yeah. So, looking at the clock, are there any other things? Folks comfortable with the process that Judy's laid out for next week?
Just for a second, I know you have to go, but leverage, from my standpoint, is really important. We shouldn't be funding things that don't have the ability to attract other dollars, to stretch what we have as far as possible. We have such an opportunity to force other people to stretch.
What was the figure on our last on our first go around? Over $33 million.
Well, we have requests for $1 billion worth of project money.
But the leverage was about 50%.
That's right. For every dollar we matched, 51 was matched by 51 cents in non-Outdoor Heritage Fund dollars.
That's a good sale.
That's really, well, yeah, and that's why it should be a real priority. Jim, you're okay with the process?
I am.
Okay.
How are the rest of the council members going to get up to date on this process?
We're going to have to get it back to them with the
with their homework assignment. Yeah, and Judy's going to have to spend some time, as we all will, to just get people up to speed about the process at the beginning of next week's meeting.
But one of the reasons we wanted to have this meeting was so that we had some people that could help explain to council members what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Grant, we had a time for public comments. Did you have anything you wanted to add? No, thanks. We stand adjourned. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Mary.